We've been talking a lot about this topic of faith in action. This is actually my third message on this topic, and we've been studying the book of Nehemiah really as an example to understand how faith must produce action in some way if it's truly faith. And y'all probably remember me quoting James many times in the beginning of this message that James reminds us specifically that faith without deeds is dead. Your faith should, or I should say, deeds should be a result of your faith. We've talked about deeds do not save you. Works do not save you. Works do not earn you anything. But what happens when you have faith and you believe God's word, you believe what he says, and you step out in that faith, there will be action as a result. We call that fruit many times in the Bible. You'll read a lot about fruit in the Bible. It's good fruit versus bad fruit. What I'm going to be talking about is good fruit. How do we produce good fruit? And what does that look like based on faith? And there's a process that I've been talking about to put your faith in action. And I'm going to review that process for a minute, and then we'll get into Nehemiah. So the first thing that we learn in Nehemiah is that there's a heartfelt call, that God gives you some type of conviction or a compassion or something where you are connected to the situation. So it starts with a heartfelt call. And then the next thing we should do is pray and ask God for clarity. Is this something I should do, God? Pray over that situation. You know, a lot of times we say, you know, well, I hope you get well. Well, are you praying that they get well? Or are you taking steps? And in this case, Nehemiah began praying for the people of Israel. He began praying that the city of Jerusalem would be restored, that they would come out of exile and have Jerusalem back in their hands. And then after he had been praying for a period of time, actually 4 months from the time he heard about the destruction of Jerusalem until the time where he actually started taking action, it was 4 months period. So he waited on God's timing. Heartfelt call, prayed, waited on God's timing. You know, a lot of times people will come to me and say, I feel like we should go do this event, or I feel like we should go do this. If I don't feel connected to that, if God hasn't put that on my heart, and after a time of prayer, if I don't feel like this is where he's calling us to go, then a lot of times I'll say, we're not going to do that. And it's very important that you understand, if we're not stepping into God's will, if it's not his plan, we need to be willing to step out. And there are times where you have to do that. We have to trust God when we're called into a situation. Nelson, I think you're a great example of what I'm talking about, going on these New Orleans trips and knowing when God's speaking to you and where you should go and where you shouldn't go and what action you should take. I mean, the kids that you mentioned this morning, great example. God put that on your heart. You prayed about it. You felt called, you trusted God, and you went into that situation. And that's what Nehemiah teaches us. Once we've been called, we prayed, we've waited on God's timing, then we take action. And while we're taking action, we have to remember to glorify God in all things that we do, to work diligently. There's going to be opposition anytime you step into God's will, is what we've been talking about. Opposition is going to come when you step into God's will. There's no question about it. But you have to stand firm and you have to trust God. And that's where I think a lot of people begin to fall down in their faith. Is okay, if God is so great, why am I going through this opposition? Why can't he just take this hurdle out of my way? And a lot of times he can, and a lot of times that hurdle is there for a reason. A lot of times it's the testing of faith, isn't it? Not only that, but there's an enemy that's trying to stop anything that's good. Anything that is good and perfect in God's will, the enemy is going to try and stop. And he often does. He shows up. And that's why prayer is such an important part of your faith. It's such an important part of taking action. Nehemiah was a great example of all these things that I'm describing here. You know, oftentimes we feel called to do something, And we start to skip some of the steps in the process. Maybe we skip prayer. Maybe when opposition comes, we forget to trust God. Maybe we forget to give him glory once we start to see victory. Maybe we forget to worship him. You know, Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. And oftentimes we separate ourselves and try to do things apart from God, and we fail. That's why it's so important to be in step with the Spirit all the way through this. To be in prayer, to be connected to God, and let him lead. Because if we're trying to lead through the flesh, it's not going to work. The results that God desires are not going to come about. We have to be in tune and in line with what God is calling us to do. Now, if you guys would turn to Nehemiah 2 with me, we're going to begin in verse 10. This is where we left off. We left off at verse 9 last week. I'm going to take us into verse 10. And some of Nehemiah we're going to skim through just because I want to get this point across about faith in action. So just to give you a quick recap here. This is Nehemiah. Nehemiah has been called to build this wall. He's prayed and fasted. He's a cupbearer to a king in exile. It's actually a Persian king that he's under. All the Israelites have been scattered. The Babylonian king, Nebuchadnezzar, came and sacked Israel. And if he didn't kill those that were there, he took them into captivity. And so this entire country is now in exile. And on top of that, the walls of Jerusalem have been broken down and the gates burned. And so it's rubble. It's nothing but a pile of rubble now. And here we learn that Nehemiah was a governor. He had power and influence in Israel. And he is now in captivity under this king. God moves this king after Nehemiah begins praying. And he asks Nehemiah what he can do for him. And Nehemiah gives him his requests, and they're big requests. And the king goes along with it and gives him letters of clearance and sends cavalry to take him back to Jerusalem to guard him to begin building this wall. So now we're in verse 10. And could I ask somebody if they would read verse 10 for me this morning? Go ahead, Roxanne.
And when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite servant heard of this, it displeased them greatly. The man had come seeking the good of the children of Israel.
Thank you. And we're going to stop on that one verse because this is really important to understand. Israel is God's chosen people. Here it's this city of God, God's city, has been sacked by pagan kings. Pagan kings worship false gods. And now Israel has this opportunity to come back and rebuild. And you see immediately there's opposition. Immediately. And these aren't just little people that are opposing it. These are people with power. These are people that can really cause some damage to this project. So Sanballat, I should have figured out that pronunciation. And you got Tobiah. And they've heard about this, and now they become angry that Israel is going to be rebuilt. It's an important thing to remember because there is an enemy that stops or tries to stop God's will. God uses people as agents to carry out his work on earth. He partners with people. But there's also another spiritual force in this world that partners with people to do his work. His name's Satan, and that's the thing about free will that God gives us, is you can choose which side you're going to be on. Are you going to follow God or are you going to follow Satan? And those that do follow Satan will come in opposition against you when you're trying to step out in faith. And here's a perfect example of that taking place right here. It's often powerful people, people with influence, that he uses to interject. All throughout the Bible, you go through the Old Testament and then go into the New Testament. Every person that was called by God to go do a task, to take their faith into action, was challenged by this kind of opposition. Look at Noah. God said, you're going to build me an ark. Here's how you do it. Noah had a heart for these people that God was about to destroy because they were so corrupt. And they start mocking him. They start making fun of him. They try to convince him to stop, that he's crazy. And Noah trusts God. He knew that this was on his heart. He knew that God gave him this word of what to do. He prayed. He continued to be loyal to God. He worshiped God. And Noah was successful. Look at Moses. Another example of opposition. Here, a man that was on the run for his life at the time runs into God at a burning bush. He has a heart for Israel, you can tell, because the reason he was running is he killed a man that was abusing an Israelite slave. So he's got a heart connection there. He's praying. God shows up. And of course, Moses at first doesn't want to take on this job. But when he shows up, he faces great opposition. And all through the desert of leading Israel, every time there's opposition, even his own people are being used by Satan to stop God's will. Guess what? They made it into the promised land. It took 40 years, but it was God's perfect timing. God's timing. Saul and David, another example. David anointed to be king. Faces this great opposition, and it's very clear that that was an evil opposition. Saul was chasing David. David was on the run for his life. Eventually, David became king of Israel. Opposition is going to occur in all of these situations, and anytime we step into God's will. This is where trust is so important. This is where prayer is so important. You know, it's great to do humanity-type things, and I encourage that, to feed the poor, to take care of those in need. And that's what the church is called to do. There are times where if you're doing that in the flesh and not listening to God, you're going to miss something. And so our actions have to be driven by our faith. They can't be separated in this Christian walk. They have to work together. You have to pray. There have been times where people have come in and it was nothing but a distraction for us. It's kept us from helping people that really need the help. And so we pray about that and we ask God for his guidance and we seek. Say, God, is this of you? Is this something you would call us to do? And if the answer is yes, then you wait for his timing and you do what he calls you to do. 1 Samuel 2:9 is a great verse. It says, he will guard the feet of his faithful servants, but the wicked will be alienated in the place of darkness. It is not by strength that one prevails. Nehemiah had to trust God through some really difficult circumstances with great opposition. There were kings that did not want to see him proceed with this wall. If we go now to verse 11, would somebody read 11 and 12? Okay.
So I went to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. Then I arose in the night, and I and a few men with me, and I told no one what my God had put into my heart to do for Jerusalem. Sorry. There was no animal with me but the one on which I rode.
Thank you, Robert. He knows there's an enemy out there. Nehemiah is not just haphazardly going about this. He's assessing the situation, and that's something we should always do. When God calls us into things, we need to assess the situation before we just jump head start. Nehemiah is taking his time looking over what is this really going to take. He hasn't tipped off anybody so that they can stop him before it even gets started. And so he's out in the night by himself assessing all of these things. He had a huge task to accomplish. If you ever study ancient history and look at Israel and Jerusalem specifically, it's a big city. Those are big walls. It took a lot of time to create those walls and those gates. Now let's take a look at verse 16 for a minute. Would somebody read verse 16? Okay.
You're still in Nehemiah 2, right?
Yes.
And the rulers knew not whither I went or what I did, neither had I as yet told it to the Jews, nor to the priests, nor to the nobles, nor to the rulers, nor to the rest that did the work.
Thank you. He was very cautious as he was getting started. He knew there was going to be even more opposition. So he didn't just go shouting it out to everybody what his plan was. There are times where we need to learn to be silent when God gives us a plan. Because there are people that are agents that will try and stop you to do God's will. Not that they can, but they will. They will try. And Nehemiah here was very careful not to tell anybody what his plan was until he knew it was time. After Nehemiah had assessed everything and kept it to himself, he then gathered these people in Israel together. In verse 17 it says, "Then I said to them, 'You see the trouble we are in? Jerusalem lies in ruins, and its gates have been burned with fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, and we will no longer be a disgrace.'" When the time was right, he gathered the workers together, and he shared with them his plan. And then it says in verse 18, this is the most important part of this, in my opinion. He told them about the gracious hand of God and what the king had said to him. He encouraged him. He said, "God has given this to me. And here's proof. The king gave me letters so I could have safe passage. The king sent a cavalry with me. The king supported what I was going to do. God was at work, because there's no way a pagan king that kept us in exile would have allowed this unless God was in this with us." And so he encourages his people by showing we're not alone. God is with us. There are many times where you may be leading others into something God's called you to do. And it's important that when God speaks to you a word of encouragement, or he shows you his face during this pursuit of whatever action you're taking, to use that to encourage those with you. There are many times where people get beat down when they're doing God's will. There are many times where, because of the opposition, you feel like there's no way out, we're done. And so if you're in that situation and God is showing you things, use that to encourage others. These guys would have probably never signed up for this if Nehemiah didn't show them that God was part of this plan. You guys get that? You ever knew God called you into a situation and you faced opposition, you began to get discouraged, or you looked at how big the job was that God called you to do and you got discouraged? It's a normal thing to do. We need to know God is with us. There's times where I've gotten discouraged. I've looked at a task and I said, "There's no way. That's not going to happen." God will show up at those times and show you stuff if you're paying attention. And you need to use that to know that God is with you in these things, and do not let the opposition stop you. After all of this, in verse 20, it says, "I answered them by saying, 'The God of heaven will give us success. We, his servants, will start rebuilding, but as for you, you have no share in Jerusalem or any claim or historic right to it.'" He was talking back to the pagan kings that were trying to stop him. He said, "The God of heaven will give us success." He trusted God. Even with all this opposition, he trusted God. When you read the Bible, it's not just a historic text, or it's not just a story, or it's not just a thing of good things to do. It is God revealing himself to you through his word. And when we read that, do you believe it? When he says, "I will not leave you nor forsake you," do you believe it? When he says, "Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world," do you believe it? And that's what we're talking about here. If we feel led by God to go out and do something, we need to trust Him and trust His word that He's going to see us through it. I shared the story last Sunday about how we got stuck in South Africa, in Johannesburg. We were carrying bags, I mean big, big bags, of prescription medication for our mission trip. And this customs officer came out of nowhere and started arguing with us and made us go into this room. And we were watching what was going on in this room, and there were people getting their stuff taken apart. And we could have been, you know, he was very clear to us that if anything in that bag is not legal according to South African laws, we're confiscating it and you could face jail time. I mean, it was just nasty what he was doing. We all get in this room and we're a little panicked now. We're like, this, you know, we're not even to the first place where we're trying to go here. And I remember Pastor Will saying, we're going to stop and pray right here. And in this room, while they're tearing everybody's stuff apart, Pastor Will starts praying. And I don't know if you've ever heard Pastor Will pray, but that man can pray. And so right there, he starts praying. And within a few minutes, somebody that we had not even seen before comes out of an office. The other guy goes into another office. And she said, you guys go get out of here before they start searching you anymore. It was amazing. I mean, it was God at work here. And so we need to trust God. He wouldn't have called us to go to Malawi and then let us get stopped in Johannesburg, right? You know how many lives were saved because that medication got to Malawi? There were a lot of lives that were saved. Not only that, but so many people received the gospel there. See, opposition is going to come. You know how many times I was scared dealing with Muslims and stuff that, you know, this is going to be my last day on earth? It was an opportunity to share the gospel with them. Something I never thought I would do. And I saw them receive Christ for the first time, and it was amazing. We have to trust God. That's the biggest thing in all of this. When we're called out to go to budget suites, do you feel the tug on your heart? Did you pray about it? Did you ask God, is this your will for us? And if he said yes, do you go? And when there's opposition, do you push through? Or do you let the opposition stop you? Nehemiah prayed every time there was opposition. He prayed. That's what I learned from Pastor Will. I learned so many valuable lessons on that trip. One of them was every point you hit opposition, you pray. It is a spiritual battle. No question about it. You stop and pray. As you read through Nehemiah, but here's a little tip-off on what happens with Nehemiah. He faces so much opposition, you begin to get in the store and you think, he's done, this isn't going to happen. If you start to read through Nehemiah, it's like a cliffhanger in certain parts. You're like, oh! But you'll find that God always wins. God saw him through this task. God ends up rebuilding Israel through Nehemiah and these people. And it's a powerful, powerful story because it's hard to understand until you can visualize the task that was ahead of them. If I told you that I need someone to rebuild the brick on my house, you'd look at that and you go, I'm going to go hire a team of people. It'd be a big task for any individual to do, especially if you had no experience with that. These people had no experience. They did not build the walls in the first place. Many of them were goldsmiths, you'll read. They were priests. They were Levites. No experience whatsoever. And God used them to rebuild these walls and these gates. They trusted God. So let me close this in prayer there.